God's Divine Healing, Part 4, Love in Action, by Peter Amsterdam.
Jesus, who left heaven to live among us, and suffered and died on the cross for our redemption, was a living representation of God's compassion and love for humankind. In reading about the miracles of Jesus and the people he healed, we see that Jesus had great compassion and sympathy for the suffering of others. He reflected the compassion and love of God through his actions. Following are some examples of this. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. A leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him, and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. From these examples, we see that in addition to healing being a platform for sharing the gospel, one of the main motivations for praying for people is compassion. Compassion can be seen as love in action. As Christ followers, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning the Spirit of God dwells within us, and thus we too should be moved to action by love and compassion. The greatest of these is love. The gift of healing is one of the spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit distributes to the believers. The Apostle Paul wrote the following about the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues." Paul then goes on to say, "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills." This verse makes it clear that it is the Spirit of God who distributes these gifts to individuals according to his will. This indicates that not every Christian has every gift. Thus, not every Christian has the gifts of healing, just as not every Christian has the gift of wisdom, the gift of working miracles, etc. At the end of the same chapter, Paul says, "But earnestly desire the higher gifts." In saying to earnestly desire certain gifts, it can be concluded that believers are encouraged to pray earnestly for a particular gift. having the gifts of healing, for example, could be beneficial for a witnessing ministry. If you feel called to use healing in your witness, you should feel free to ask God for the gift of healing and step out by faith to pray for people's healing as He leads you. After speaking about the various gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul goes on to say, "I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Paul makes a strong statement here that if we have the gifts of the Spirit, including healing, and can do all kinds of wonderful works because of these gifts, we must do them in love, as without love we are nothing. The motivation for all our mission-related activities and ministries, and for fulfilling the Great Commission, is love. Love for the lost and for those who are searching. Love for the poor, the oppressed and the needy. And love for the infirm and for those who battle illness. It is a manifestation of the compassion Jesus taught through His example. As Paul wrote in his timeless discourse on love in 1 Corinthians 13, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude." No matter what our theology or methodology in our ministering to people and witness, we are called to let all that you do be done in love. When it comes to praying for others' healing, we must treat people with compassion and care. It is wrong to say and do things that make people who don't get healed feel discouraged or condemned about it. It's unkind and unloving to tell people who are suffering that they or their faith has failed, and that's why they aren't getting healed. We need to put ourselves in the place of the sick person and act in a loving manner by showing sympathy. Love is the key when working with people struggling with infirmities and with their loved ones. In James's epistle, he encouraged the believers to gather in prayer for those in need of healing. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. James went on to say, "Pray for one another, that you may be healed." The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Paul also notes that as the body of Christ, if one member suffers, all suffer together, indicating the compassion and love for others that should motivate all our actions. Jesus commanded his disciples to pray for the sick, and we see this in the example of the early disciples. We can all pray for those who are sick. It takes faith to step out and pray for others, especially in a witnessing situation where you don't know the person. It may be awkward in some cases, but in doing so, the opportunity is given to someone to be touched by God. Many people would be happy to have someone pray for their healing, whether they are believers or not. When we pray for the sick, we can trust that they will be healed in accordance with God's will. What a tremendous vehicle for showing someone the love of Jesus and God's compassion for them. We may not know all the theological ins and outs of healing, and we may not understand why some people are healed and others are not. But what we do know is that we have been called to pray for people, which includes their physical healing, and to witness to them about salvation in Christ. May God's love and compassion motivate us to be faithful to fulfill our mission of bringing Jesus into the lives of others. We also have to remember, when praying for people's healing, that healing comes from God's hand. He uses Christians who are willing to step out and pray for others in love and compassion, whether that person receives healing or not. As one theologian expressed it, when we pray for healing, we should remember that we must pray for God to be glorified in the situation, whether he chooses to heal or not. And we also ought to pray out of the same compassion of heart that Jesus felt for those whom he healed. When we pray this way, God will sometimes, and perhaps often, grant answers to our prayers. We applaud those whom the Lord has led to use healing in their witnessing, and we're thrilled to hear that people are healed and that the gospel is preached. At the same time, we have been saddened to hear of a handful of people who have displayed a lack of love and wisdom, and according to emails we have received, have caused distress, condemnation, discouragement, and hurt. Some people have told us that they have avoided seeking prayer for healing because of the actions and words of some who have been unloving and hurtful, which is sad to hear. Our stance, as we shared in Blueprint for the Future, is that individuals should follow Jesus according to the personal call he gives them and enact their commitment to God's will for their lives. If he leads you to use healing evangelism in your ministry, praise God. If he calls you to feed the poor and the destitute, praise God. If he calls you to a job that allows you to influence others and lead them to him, praise God. If he calls you to devote your time to raising your children in his nurture and admonition, praise God. The key is to follow and serve God in the ways that he leads you personally. The key to fruitfulness in Christian service is to follow what the Lord shows you and his leading in the situation he places you in. There are diverse means of reaching people with the gospel, and our goal is to reach as many as possible with the message of salvation, of Jesus' soul-saving sacrifice, and of eternity with God. Our hope and prayer is that we will each be faithful to share the gospel in the ways the Lord leads, according to the gifts and callings he has for each one of us. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. May we each be led by the Spirit of God and be motivated by love and compassion in our witness, our interactions with one another, and in the exercising of the gifts and callings God has given to each one of us, as members of the body of Christ. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at tfionline.com.